This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Hey, Ali.
What up, D?
Hey, man, have you ever had problems going to sleep?
Nah, but sometimes I have problems staying asleep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I used to have the same problem, but then I found out about Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams.
Yes, sir. Sweet Dreams is the highest quality Colorado CBD blended with the power of melatonin.
Damn, that's dope.
Now I'm knocked out at night and I got crazy energy in the morning.
Yeah, where can I get that, D?
You need to go to www.naturalrxsource.com. That's www.naturalrxsource.com. Put in the code SLEEP10 for 10% off your first order.
Bet. I'm going to go there right now.
Well, go to sleep and stay asleep. Sweet dreams.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
1, 2, 1, 2.
And I say,
yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation.
The podcast.
Wee!
Yes, sir.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
What's good, man?
Man, life is good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fresh off the weekend.
Okay.
You know, it's Easter.
Yeah, it was a few holidays. Easter, 420.
Oh, right. I didn't really celebrate the 420.
Yeah, you know.
I ran into a couple of...
Earth Day?
participants.
You know.
Earth Day. Earth Day. Shout out to Earth Day.
Shout out to
Earth Day. Don't get a lot of shine.
Yeah. I think it's because it make people feel bad. You know, like certain people, it's a good way for people to judge you.
Well, some people need to feel bad.
Ooh. That's how you started this week?
I mean.
Shit. Are you heavy on Earth Day? Are you
No. I just got my big break on the Earth Day situation.
Okay. So you feel like, okay.
I mean, I just give it its props. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I try not to do too much shit to fuck up the Earth.
Okay, fair
you
enough.
You know what I mean? But
enough.
We did a situation on an Earth Day. It was an Earth Day event. That was like a small, sorry, $200 job. That I ain't, you know, the person who called me, they didn't want to do. They was just like, man, right. Fuck this old bullshit. Right. And I was like, fuck it. I ain't have shit to do that night.
It was Earth Day,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Got there. It was tough, you know what I'm saying? The producer was tough at the time. But we got through that shit. We made it through. We finished it. Got $200 or whatever. But it turned out that the Earth Day was for Origins, which is owned by Estee Lauder.
Mm.
Turned out about 4 months later, get a call back, and it was Jane Lauder was like, you know, the coverage we did was the best coverage they did on that event globally because they had that shit in 5 different markets mm-hmm. on Earth Day. And that opened the door. After that, our shit was like.
One of the Lauders called you.
She didn't call me, but that was her. She gave us the plug. Like,
okay.
She was like, you know, Jane Lauder said that this was the best coverage on this event globally. So. All
right.
We ended up doing their holiday web series for a few years after that.
That's big.
Yeah.
Is Estee, is that a woman or a man?
I think originally it was a woman.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I know
grandma,
the
great grandma or whatever started the company.
Okay.
Back in the, I guess, the day.
Back in the day, way back.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. So how was your Easter, though?
Easter was great, man.
Uh-huh.
We usually do Easter with Bevy and
right.
her family. They've been
right.
hosting us for quite some time.
Uh-huh.
The, you know, the orphan family in New York.
Oh, man.
Nah, it was just like, we would always go there on Easter, so we was there.
Uh-huh.
And we had a great time, man. I was talking shit, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, it all boiled down to the thrones after that.
Oh, right. Was it good?
What? We going to the thrones?
Nah, we ain't got to go to the throne.
How was your weekend first?
We're
going to get to them thrones.
What did I do? 420. What did I do on 420?
Did you participate?
Yeah, I partook. I got into 420. I enjoyed, you know,
so
I watched
you work with? Well, you stayed home or you was out in the streets?
What was that? All right, so wait, let me figure these out. Okay. One night was... All right, so Friday, let's go through the whole thing.
Okay.
Friday, I actually went to the auto show.
It's a weekend.
Yeah, it was a weekend. I went to the auto show. Mm-hmm. Me and my homie Kev. I ain't been to an auto show in a minute.
Right.
We did the auto show. It was all right. It was all right. It was all the well, but
it was regular.
It's a lot of big ass trucks coming, dog. It's a lot.
Trucks is the thing right now.
But I mean, damn. All I kept looking at was, first of all, why this truck got to be this fucking big? And then, if you in the city, this shit don't make no sense because you're not going to get no parking.
Like
nowhere.
What? What kind of truck? What kind of SUV? Who had a big truck?
All right. So first off, my homie Kev, he just started driving maybe a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But since he do the knowledge, this motherfucker read Car and Driver and all of that. So mm-hmm. he was like the Sherpa. Right. Do the whole shit. He was like, okay, what you're about to see, you see that big truck right there? I wanted to really see this. That big truck is called this, the Telluride by mm-hmm. Kia. Mm-hmm. Kia jumped in the game with this big ass truck. Like, it's ridiculous. I didn't realize Hyundai makes Kia. Mm-hmm. So then Hyundai got a more streamlined version of what they did with the Telluride under mm-hmm. another name. Mm-hmm. So there was that. Then, you know, obviously they had Camp Jeep out there, or like a little small version of Camp Jeep. Mm-hmm. But they had the, what's the name of that Jeep that they do? They're, damn, it's like, not the Wrangler. There's a Wrangler, but then it's a volume or whatever. But they had one that was like as big as a fucking Accessorad. Right. Shit was ridiculous. It was way too ridiculous. Then there was all types of just wild, big ass trucks.
Yeah, trucks is the wave. So it was the crossover SUV for a while, mm-hmm. and then you got these mid-size SUVs, and that has like over in the luxury market, especially when they dropped the Bentley Jeep and then the Rolls Royce, you know, SUV. That opened the doors for the trickle-down effect. So I think BMW's coming with a big truck.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, bigger than their X5, of course.
Okay.
But like a more full-size.
Like an 8, right?
Yeah, like a full-size SUV mm-hmm. that, you know what I mean, matches up. Like, it actually looks bigger than the Benz truck that they comparing it to. It's not the G-Wagon, but the GL. It's like a mid-size SUV, but mm-hmm. they comparing it to that. Because they also have a AMG version of that. Mm-hmm. So I think BMW is coming into space with it. That's where everybody running to, that SUV section. So if you kind of looking for, you know what I'm saying, if you're not in the new car market, like you're in the later model used car market, mm-hmm. them sedans is going for the cheap. Low. For, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So because everybody jumping on SUVs.
Yeah, I'm saying I could understand if you don't live in the city. Like, particularly New York City. Because I don't know where you're going to park this big-ass truck. You're going to have to put it in the lot.
Yeah, most people don't live in the city.
Yeah, well, I'm talking to, you know. I was in the city. I was at the New York
corner. Right, yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
so I was there. That's why I was like, this shit don't really seem practical. Nah, I figured they would have spun it a little
Your lifestyle look different. You got, you know what I'm saying, y'all going smart cars and trickling back to the smaller ones. But around the country, everybody want to flex. If you got money, you want to flex it.
That's the other thing I'm thinking, God. I mean, the fuel on that shit got to be stupid. We talking about all, you know what I mean? People complain about gas. This shit, I mean, dog, it's highly unnecessary. I understand
It's probably not as, it's probably better fuel efficient than the older SUVs from, you know what I'm saying? So I'm sure the SUVs now have caught up the standard with the miles per gallons and shit. So
I feel you.
They probably like, okay, it's just a little bit more. But it's always a flex, you know what I'm saying?
It's a flex, it's a pull up.
Because what everybody doing now, you know, it's always like, you know, who buying a $2 million house in, you know what I'm saying, in the hood? Mm. Somebody. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's a flex.
Right.
Because they could do it.
No, I could dig it. I guess so. I mean, my thing is, these shits is big as hell. Like, they bigger than, you remember Expeditions, Suburbans, like, those were, you know, these shits look like Transformers, dog. Like, it looks ridiculous. This shit look ridiculous. Like, my nigga, this shit like you on fucking Eastern Parkway. Like, this is a float.
Right.
You got all, what do you have in your life to fill this big ass truck
it's
with?
A throwback to probably about 99, 2000.
I remember that.
When the Expedition came out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That was big Detroit situation. Yeah. Like, a lot of the people from like Michigan, I knew they would come through with them big ass trucks.
Listen, a lot of people from everywhere had them big trucks. So maybe it's that time again. Maybe they trying to swing it back. See who biting on it. They say fuck the earth.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's definitely not Earth Day conducive.
I guess they done passed that wave.
I seen the, what else they had? They had a Rolls Royce with flip-flop paint, which was interesting to see it, like, from factory. Yeah. What color? It was fly, too, because it snuck up on you. It was like emerald green. Mm-hmm. And then you walk past that shit and it's navy blue. Mm-hmm. And it make you like, oh shit, what the, you know what I mean? Because again, you're not used to just the dealer doing that, right. But it was smooth though, the gradient, like you couldn't even, right. Like I walked it back, it's very hard to see where it flipped. It was right. Fly.
Nah, no doubt.
It was fly. So yeah, we did that shit.
What was the shit you saw there that you feel like you would get if you had the bread?
Oh man. I ain't seen nothing super crazy. I seen some fly, like some of them AMG joints look crazy. Those
but you about to be in the market again.
Yeah, I'm about to, switch. That's why I went, because it's time to switch the lease. So the people that I'm with now, they started sending me listen, we'll buy you out.
Said the people.
The people, because I might disparage them, and I don't want to endorse or disparage. I'm in a negotiation. You know what I mean? People. I feel like LeBron right now. I can't tell you what I'm taking my talents to. But the people, I don't feel like, I mean, the car was fun, good handling, had a couple moments in it. You know what I mean? We know. I feel like they ain't really, the people don't all the way stand behind the vehicle.
They were.
Because when I came there a few times for their help, they kind of hit me with a, you know what I mean? Well, I mean, that actually could have happened because, you know, I told you about when my AC was fucked up, and then right. They said the rats ate my AC.
Right, right, right.
And they're not responsible for rats eating the AC, so they're going to have to hit me for the AC repair. So I said, let me see a photo of the fucking AC. I want to see what these rats did. And they pulled the photo, and the thing is, that shit could have been pulled from the damn database.
From the file.
Yeah, it's like,
file.
Yo, you can't on the rat. What if you got the rat folder pass?
Rat wire file.
Yeah, your car don't got no birthmark or nothing. So I know for sure it was an underside of a car. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
Right.
Then I had some shit where if you use like the exhaust, like the AC, or you trying to, you know, like when you got a defog, the defrost, you know how that turns on your AC, right?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, when I turn on my AC, every so often sporadically, that shit would get funky than a motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
For about 25 minutes till it got a blowout. 25
minutes?
Yeah,
that's the whole trip.
That shit is absolutely. And it's a lot of remorse in that funky ass whip. You know what I mean? Because you just.
A new model funky.
A new model funky ass whip. And then it's a reflection. It feels like, you know how when you jump in a bad Uber?
Right.
Where it's like, God damn. And I was like, so I go to the people. I'm saying, yo, what's this about? You ever go, it's like when you go to the doctor or you take anything for repair, the symptoms don't show. Right. You know what I mean? You turn the shit on, they're like.
I don't smell nothing.
So they were like, well, we could replace the filter. I said, oh, yeah, let's replace the filter. Hopefully that's what it is. They also hit me with, well, you had some rats. So maybe it might have been a nest in the thing. Now, if that's the case, we can't stand behind it.
A nest all the way in your car? A whole nest?
Well, they say that happens a lot. That's what they say. This is what I'm telling you. But they told me,
a rat's nest and what? Where do they go?
It's mad because there's like in the... like one of the little compartments.
So they don't worry about when you drive off with their nest?
They could get the fuck out of there. When they hear you get in, they, you know, rats move. Rats live in squalor, fam. They know how to survive. So they were like, well, look, if there's some rats in there taking shits or whatever, then we can't be responsible. So they hit me with the rat shit again. So they replaced the AC filter. I'm thinking I'm good. Maybe 2 weeks later, that shit got funky again. I was sick. So I don't know, man. I looked around at the auto show. You know, like, my thing is I don't need a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? Certain things I like. I'm more of an interior cab. I like the shit to look good on
you
the
pull-up.
You
want a cabin.
I like a nice cabin. I like a nice stereo system.
Mm-hmm.
I like a nice...
You call it a stereo system.
You know.
Old school.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's in your cabin with your motherfucking stereo blaring. You was playing some Barry White just a minute ago. Yeah, you know what I mean?
That was in my Miami vibe.
Dog, come on. Barry White on a good system?
On a good system, on a good day.
That's beautiful.
Sun out.
That's beautiful. It's that time. It's always that time, though.
I do that shit any time. But it is almost that time.
Yeah, it's that time.
Summertime.
What you think of the fact? I think we had this conversation before. it might, I don't know if it's blasphemy, but maybe just stylistically, even a little sonically, a little aesthetically. I've said this before. I think Rick Ross is like the Barry White of hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because Barry White is like, he ain't even from Miami. He's from L.A.
Watts. Okay. You How did he become such a Miami legend?
His sound is just a Miami sound. And of course, when he was out, you know, natively in the 70s or whatever, right. he was a big deal. But in the 90s, Uncle Al, who's a DJ, rest in peace, he played Barry White. Because it's such a nostalgic Miami sound, he would play it like it was brand new. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then ride out on top of it. Because Barry White did a lot of instrumentals with the Love Unlimited Orchestra shit like that. So he got a lot of long breaks, you know what I'm saying? Right. And Miami DJs like to talk over the record. So them long breaks is good to talk over the record. So he took those songs that was native to the city and just made them brand new again, pretty much. So 90-something, Barry White had a resurgence, you know what I'm saying? A revival in Miami as... That was the sound. Like when you cats driving in the verse, it's just such a, just like with Rick Ross, it's such a, you know, grandiose sound.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he had a full orchestra.
It's good for a sedan.
Good for a sedan, good for a convertible.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you got all these sounds. You got sounds in your system, but you got flutes and fucking
harmonicas,
clarinets and fucking violins and basses. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's sonically, you know, superior.
Yeah.
And I think Rick Ross has tapped into that same energy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, he's a big dude with a beard. That's Barry White.
Right,
you know
exactly.
I mean? Barry White had the ladies, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
This is Barry White, not a bad role model.
Right, now it's a cool, like the Playboy.
Like,
Niggas shoes lavender.
Right, I would be Barry White if I wasn't so light-skinned and skinny.
Hilarious.
You know what I'm saying?
But you got some Barry White in your spirit.
I got Barry White all in my spirit. I just can't pull the look off.
Right. He's a different type of cat.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta already have that. He turned, like, he was the original big boy.
Was he the first one?
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fly, big boy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he was the original from the old school, but, like, we give that to, like, Biggie. You know what I'm saying?
Heavy D,
a different kind of big boy.
Oh, you saying like more of a playboy, like a silk shirt.
Like a serious, like Heavy D was kind of almost comedic with his, the overweight lover, da 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 da. Like, you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't hear Barry White talking about I'm the overweight lover. He just come out, and, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know.
It was just, I'm just grandiose.
I'm grandiose and the motherfucking, you know what I'm saying? The ladies love me.
I'm opulent.
You know what I'm saying?
In size.
Everything's opulent. Barry White would wear a powder blue suit with ruffles.
Right.
And a big floppy, you know what I'm saying, bow tie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
With a perm.
Yeah. Well, with the chest hairs out heavy.
Nah. He ain't never had chest
hair. He had them chest hairs?
He would have this shit with the ruffles, and then he had, like, the press out. Like, I don't know if it's a hot comb or a perm, but he had a hot comb, L.A. shit. Yeah, very opulent.
You ever see the Simpsons character that looked like Barry White?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, we Miami adopted Barry White pretty much as an unofficial Miami representative of sorts.
Did he live down there or
nah? His music is a fan of his music.
That's like Frankie Beverly in New Orleans.
Right.
I thought Frankie Beverly was from New Orleans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They just fuck with him heavy.
So it's like, you know, like a lot of like endemic songs like Dance to the Drummer's Beat, you know what I'm saying? That's like Bahamas, Miami, that's close, that's native. But like Barry White was adopted, you know what I mean? And a lot of that electro funk music that they would take from the breakdance era in New York was big in Miami, but we didn't breakdance to it, you know what I'm saying? It was just like hard, that was like the hard music. Like,
so what was y'all doing to Dance to the Drummers Beat?
Oh, they gonna dance to Dance to the Drummers Beat, not breakdance. They gonna dance.
Miami dance,
grinding. Just
That's by yourself.
Yeah, you can just do that by yourself. You just
that dance?
It ain't no.
It's just feeling it.
You just vibing.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Like they call it the juke now. You know what I'm saying? You could throw the D. You could do anything to that shit. Like, but it's just you know what I'm saying? That shit come on. You just like you know.
So y'all ain't never had no breakdancing out there? There's no breakdance culture out there?
It was some breakdancing, but it was no breakdance culture. Like they play those fast, like the songs that people be breakdancing to on the movies and shit. But nah, that type of shit, the DJs will have big-ass wall of speakers and everybody just be doing what, you know what
I'm saying? Riding out,
stomping and grinding to that shit. Mm. You know what I mean? So DJs will have a ball just talking over it, you know what I'm saying? Like clear and body mechanic, shit like that.
Right.
Those was breakdancing records in New York.
Uh-huh.
God damn.
Pardon. Go ahead, brother.
Disruptive.
Hey, man. Those drummers beat.
Those was breakdancing records in New York, but mm-hmm. in Miami, those were street records.
Right.
And the DJs would kind of make the songs what the streets needed them to be.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So you might hear those same songs in a 73 Vert, you know what I'm saying? Candy paint, you know, 30s and lows on it. And that's the sound of Miami, you know. The older sound of Miami. I don't know. Miami got some new
shit. It's the new sound.
But, like, you know, even now, like, the shit that Ciara, Beyonce on, it's still in the vibe of the stick drill vibe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Stick music, you know? So it's still there. It's just fast. It's the dance, too. It's all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's up. What you do for 420?
Absolutely nothing. No, I went to see Little.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I took my daughter and my kids to see Little.
That's what's up.
Yeah, shit. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was an interesting movie because, you know, I knew it was developed by the little girl who stars in it. She developed it. You know what I mean? It was her idea, so.
And she had that idea for a few years, too.
You know what I'm saying? So that's like, you know what I mean? That's like a feat.
Yeah, that's bananas.
In itself, you know what I'm saying? So that was dope to see it all the way play out. Mm-hmm. It got a little uncomfortable in certain parts. You know what I'm saying? Because when she was like a little girl, but you know, she a grown woman.
She's hollering at the teacher.
The teacher, then the dude who she was, you know what I'm saying, fucking when she was a grown lady, he came through doing the goddamn Genuine dance. And you know, she like, hey. I was like, hey. Now, this is uncomfortable. I don't like to feel these.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't like these situations with the little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's weird.
So, you know what I'm saying? It got a little uncomfortable in places, but you know, it was a good movie.
Everybody liked it?
Yeah. Everybody liked it. My niece was in it, so they was excited about that.
What's up? That was a modest flex. I mean,
it a flex?
Not a flex, but
how
you like
a flex.
Not a flex.
Shout out to my niece.
Yeah, shout out to your niece. It was kind of like real under the. Yeah, my niece was in the move. Like, shout out.
But I'm saying it's like that's not a flex.
That's standard.
That's not a flex. That ain't even nothing. That's not me. That's not nothing I benefit off of.
Maybe it's flex just, is a wrong word, but my thing was, you got a way of understating big shit, like. Niggas would get, they would left, they were like, yo, my how do you open with that? You know, niece was in this movie, a movie named Little.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was developed by homegirl from Black-ish, and Issa Rae was in there, Regina. But
Issa Rae did a great job.
Yeah.
Actually, that was probably, I love Issa Rae for her audacity and her, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Her fearlessness and putting shit out and getting it done.
Right.
But never as an actress. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I felt like in her stuff, she got it off because it was her ideas, her world, you know what I mean? But I think she actually came into her own in this film and actually stole it from everybody.
Really?
Yeah, I think Issa Rae kind of outperformed everybody in this film in a way.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It made you really, she endeared herself to you.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
I think she's doing I know she's doing a movie with Lakeith Stanfield. I don't know if it's a drama, but I'm curious to see how that go.
Right.
You know what I mean? She getting her acting all the way on outside of her own material, like you said. Yeah.
She did good. I was proud of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Not that I have, you know what I'm saying? Not that
I'm. It is what it is.
She
man.
My niece and that.
Black father. That's just your energy.
It was like, you know, I was like, damn, look at Issa getting it together.
Because you seen her come up.
Yeah. And then, you know, I gave her a hard time on Insecure first season when she had to cry at the end. The last episode of the first season when they broke up and then she had to do her little crying scene.
Yeah. You wasn't with
it? Nah.
Damn.
She ain't get that off.
You that acting coach that they did cut.
And I ain't even know study of acting like that. I don't really know what's what. I don't know what's good and what's not.
I ain't feel not one emotion, man. Not one.
But them tears didn't look too. They was hard to come by. They were just like, she was really trying.
A little constipated in the tear duct. Shit. You might have had to hit the Visine. Think it was the Visine.
I mean, I don't know what it was. It wasn't even that. It was just she didn't have it yet to portray that deep of a scene.
Okay.
Like, that was a scene you really had to go there. You know what I'm saying? I don't think she had it yet.
Okay.
I don't think everybody got that crying, that emotional, I'm going to portray this emotion.
Nah, it's crazy. You know it's tough.
You know what I mean? Everybody don't have that.
You know who got that shit? Well, a couple people. One, Viola Davis got her. She know how to go from a little tear to full snot full box. That's like her signature now. She want snot box on this one.
Okay.
But Jason Mitchell. Jason Mitchell. Eazy-E. Eazy-E is a good actor, Pop.
He
Jason
is a
Mitchell
good actor. What else he was in?
He's in The Shop. And in this past episode, you know, he's talking about, you know, the whole story, basically. We talked about this last week, but it centers around the killing of a young kid. Mm-hmm. It's Jason Mitchell's little brother's kid, Coogie, right? And everybody that's interrelated, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I was thinking about that too, because I was like, you know, a lot of people compare it to The Wire, but it's more of like a family drama in the way of, there's some street shit, but it ain't, you know, it ain't the hood, but I could see, because it's a bunch of...
Yeah, it's the hood. It just ain't based on the street shit.
Yeah, but it's not the streets. It's not, like, street activity. And, you know, it's good cinematography. A bunch of black people getting a check. It's immediately like, oh, The Wire. You know what I'm saying? Right. But that shit, you know, because that's what, you know what I mean? That's one of the calling cards. But he was talking about Coogie. He was going to have to read a letter to possibly... keep his killer in jail. So he's reading it to one of the little kids. He was like, yo, you in school? I want you to kind of let me know what you think.
And this is Jason Mitchell.
This is Jason Mitchell. He's reading it, and it's a very sincere, you know, letter or whatever. You can tell he's getting emotional with the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he just processed that shit well to where some, you know, like you said, there's a way to summon them tears. He didn't even summon the tears. He kind of summoned the emotion. He is summoning that whole, I'm about to cry, but I got to get it together because I got, you know what I mean? I'm gonna get my world together. And you can feel that shit. He's good. He's a good
Yeah, he's definitely good. I don't know too much about him, but I know he portrayed that Eazy-E character with gusto.
Mm-hmm.
I did see a couple episodes of The Shy. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? But I'm going to have to check him out.
Yeah, it was good.
Because that Eazy-E shit wasn't going to be easy, you know what I'm saying, to pull off.
No pun intended.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he pulled that shit off.
Yeah, he did his thing. He did his thing on that shit.
Bird.
So, yeah.
So, 420.
420, man. What'd I do? I didn't even do a whole lot. 420, I mean, you know, indulge some flavor.
Wait, what flavors did you hit?
I had a little sampler situation. I didn't even get all the flavors. You know what I mean? It was, you know, but some shit, limoncello.
Well, it's kind of like, once you get high, you high. Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. That's true. But it's just like, it's like different liquors. Right. You know what I mean? It's different. I was thinking about that because sometimes, because I'm one of those motherfuckers, I go to Leafly. I get a little hype beast with it. Like, if that shit got over a four, I'm curious. You know what I mean? You know, the strain names will get you.
Mm-hmm.
I showed you some shit. They got a new strain out there called Titty Sprinkles.
Titty who?
Titty Sprinkles. I showed you the shit. I sent you the link. Come on, man. Titty Sprinkles? We don't want to try that.
Yeah, I mean. You know? What is it? Is it an indica or
a
sativa?
I think it's an indica. It's a hybrid or something, right? So, no, but you know, you kind of sometimes try to taste the little notes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? See if this tastes anything different off the. More often than not, the high is the high. You know what I mean? That's mostly with all of that shit. But I've definitely watched strain reviews. You know what I mean? Motherfuckers be like, you could taste the pine on the exhale.
You probably could, but after 3-4 puffs, you ain't tasting shit.
Right. But that's anything. You know what I mean? That first sip, you know when they give you, when they pop the bottle of wine, they give you the little
wine, you could go through a couple bottles for you, you know what I'm saying?
Go saucy?
Before you're too saucy to even care.
But I'm saying.
Once it hits you, you don't even give a fuck.
But that's part of the shit.
Right.
That's also part of it. That's the high. But when you getting saucy, you're not sipping for notes on the third glass of wine. You're not a.
Do you taste the oak?
I ain't never sipping for notes.
I've sipped for notes because I felt like that was what it is, and it, you know what I mean. And I'm bullshitting. I don't. You know, we were just talking about that the other night. Somebody was like, "Yo, I can taste something specific as fuck," and I'm like, "You, I like. I had to challenge that shit." For real, you could taste that.
You're susceptible.
Like, yeah. They could taste it. So did that shit. I watched the Fab Five Freddy doc on Netflix.
You watched it on 420?
I watched it on 420.
Okay.
Because, you know, it was popped up. Netflix had it. Bing.
Right. That was, I think it dropped that day.
Yeah, it dropped that day. I fuck with Fab Five Freddy. You know, typically, weed documentaries are, you know, you don't get much out of it except if you like weed, then you'll enjoy this. You know what I mean? This type of shit. They give you a little bit of the knowledge. But he told a really good story. It was informational. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining. And the shit had heart. You know what I mean? Because I watched it with my lady. She don't indulge in all of that. And she was like,
it had heart by what? Like, how you got, they, like, why you need heart for weed?
You don't need heart for weed. You could just show strains and talk about it or whatever.
What was the heart?
Well, it was, they told a few different stories. I don't want to all the way fuck it up, but you know,
get me intelligent, man. Caught up at least.
So there's quite a few things that are dope about it. So he talks about basically, you know, the history of the plant, right? And then how the shit
got illegal.
How it became illegal. Okay. You know about that.
Yeah, everybody go through that. Everybody go through that part.
Right. So they do that.
But where
the
heart come in?
They went, and I'm going to give it. Hold on. Fast forward. Hold on, nigga. We on a podcast. We got 100 minutes to talk. So anyway, so they start talking about certain little characters in this shit. I'm going to give you the heart, too, but they got to start. So there's one
characters are the
just
people.
In the lineage of weed, certain people that popped up. So there used to be a white guy named the Mighty Mez, Mezro, right? And he was like the connect. He was the plug for the tree back then, right?
For everybody.
So, for like the cats that were hip, you know what
in
I mean?
The
like
the whole country.
In the jazz scene.
Right,
I think it might have been New York, like jazz scene, but amongst the jazz, because it was very big. The jazz scene,
they put it out there.
First of all, I didn't realize jive is slang for weed. I never knew that. You always hear jive, turkey, you jive, you speak jive. You know what I mean? I never knew that's where it came from. But anyway, there's mad records about weed and jazz. And there's, you know, all the little slang of the day. But they was talking about Mez. They shout him out and shit. Yo, you see Mez of the tree, da-da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. He was a white Jewish guy. He got knocked, I think, for weed. He kicked it so much with the black people, he wrote the water. He was like, you got me in the wrong side. He was like, right, because you got me in the wrong side of the jail. I'm a colored man. I need to be over there. They moved him over to the black side. That's how down he was.
Privilege. Usually basically, your black ass tried to get moved to the white side.
Nigga, you're going to solitary. Look at these black ass walls. So, boom. So there was that. Then what was cool, I'm going to get to the heart, but also what was cool, which I've never seen before, Fab interviewed Branson. Now you've heard of Branson. Branson is like Branson is like the Mez, but a black dude, but for hip hop up here in New York.
I never heard of him.
We're like, you know, New York ain't really never really been known for weed. You know what I'm saying? Cali's known for weed and shit like that. New York, you getting, you know, chocolate. You know what I mean? Haze. You know what I mean? But you know,
perp.
You know, yeah, but it's really whatever the name
whatever hot right
it's
now.
It's Piff. Yeah, it's Mango. One. It's Ari.
You get the one strain of what's hot right now.
Right, whatever's hot. It's Dro.
Right.
So, but there was this cat uptown named Branson who had like a little dispensary type thing. Like it was, you had to know somebody.
That's where you used to go?
No, like I wasn't even smoking. This is back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah. No. This was like rapper weed, so an expensive weed, and you had to know, nigga, this is that.
Nah, you had a guy like that later, but you know.
Right, but this is, you know, this is high school, whatever, and I wasn't even doing it like that. I wasn't really doing it at all. Anyway, but like, Big would shout him out, get sacks from Branson, or, you know, shouted out Branson, Lox would shout out Branson, Redman would shout out Branson, like, he's mentioned on like over 70 rap records.
And he never went to jail.
I don't know. I don't think so. You never heard that in the shout out.
Right.
You never heard free Branson.
Free Branson.
I would assume Branson's been free.
No doubt.
So Yeah, so Branson was always low. You would just, he was like the fucking Wizard of Oz type shit. You would hear about him, Nori, you know, talk about him. Right. Had like the little triangle bags and shit. Like it was a moment.
Right.
So nobody, people have heard about, but nobody's really seen him. And then Fat Five Freddy got him on camera a little bit. He was still kind of low about it. You know what I mean? It was fly. So there was that. And then now, I thought dab off. Now for the heart. So they also talk about, you know, they break down the disparity and the, you know, incarceration and penalization for blacks and Latinos that fuck with weed as opposed to white people that fuck with weed in the city. Right. You know what I mean? Right. People, you know, so across the country, there's like, there's people, even in the wake of people, marijuana being legalized, the recreational, all of that shit, it's still places in the country where motherfuckers is going to jail for small amounts of weed. So there was one cat, he got caught with like less than, you know, 2 grams of weed. This was his third offense. It wasn't a violent offense. This was in Louisiana. Might have been New Orleans.
Louisiana still got slaves.
I mean, yeah, fucked up. And Angola, right? You know, Angola's all the way fucked.
They still run shit like that shit is back in the day.
Yeah. So they put your man in jail for 14 years. And so they talking, you know, they talking about telling the story, whatever, whatever. And at the end of the story, like you figured it was over, but at the end of the story, he was like, and now, you know what I mean? Kind of to wrap it all the way up, they came to when he got out of jail. 14 years later, like they, you know, they got the cameras and shit, and he got his family and they got that homecoming. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. First of all, he shouldn't even been in jail that long for this. But just to kind of like underline the whole shit.
The issue.
The issue, like in a way that really resonated on just a fucking emotional level, like on a, you know.
Yeah, that's hard.
And it was like, wow. You know what I mean? Okay, Fab, you killed that shit. It was fire.
Fab Five Freddy.
Yeah. And then,
that's good shit.
Easter, what I do Easter? Easter, I, you know, I didn't go to church, but
did you wear pink?
I wore some pastel. I had to do a Negro tradition.
What color you had?
I had a yellow hoodie on.
Okay.
I played it.
I wish I had some pastel. I ain't had no pastel.
Ain't no pastel?
No.
I did that one and got some wings, even with a yellow hoodie. Took a drive.
I'm trying to, you know.
Break it up?
Nah, just be more into, you know what I'm saying, celebration and shit. And you know, my family got all dressed up and I ain't had no pastels.
You know,
I'm like, shit.
You Muslim, though, too.
I understand.
You know,
but you
know, got an excuse.
I got a Christian wife, so, you know, right. I just want to keep my family together and shit.
So. There you go. You got to do that. Pastel keeps the family together.
Like, put a pastel on.
That's
I ain't
say.
Had none.
you try to keep this shit going.
Trying to keep my shit right.
Yeah, man. Go get you like a fucking, like maybe like a spearmint. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it's too late now. But I should stop.
Summertime, it's coming up.
Yeah, I think my summertime gonna be bright this year.
You Miami too. I figure that's pastel lives. They got pastel houses.
Everything pastel in Miami. But you know what I'm saying? I was that Miami nigga that almost didn't buy into the whole shit. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
As far as colors. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't never really do loud colors like that.
Right.
So I did, you know, have a little Miami Vice suit that I wore to grad night. That was dope.
I did a Miami Vice suit Easter one year. I think that was the suit for what? With the undershirt?
Yeah.
The little sky blue piece?
I killed it out in the, you know what I'm saying? In the dancing days when everybody doing this shit right here.
Yeah.
The shit had to be rayon and flowy.
Yeah. That's the Big Daddy Kane era.
Yeah, Big Daddy Kane. You know, I was a light-skinned Big Daddy Kane.
Yeah, man. I was out there.
But, you know, I never was the loud... Everything loud dressing, you know what I'm saying? So I was more subdued, still is.
Yeah.
But I think this summer I'm going with colors.
You gonna go colors on?
On the top side.
Bottom is gonna still keep it casual?
I think. Maybe some days I might, you know what I'm saying, hit them off with the whole shebang.
The whole salmon lay.
If I hit the Martha's Vineyard, I hit them with the whole salmon lay.
Okay, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm, you know, in the city, you can't be wearing too much light shit. That dirt jump off the sidewalk. That dirt jump off the sidewalk onto your pants real quick.
You know, I sweat, so that whole, all of them light colors, that shit, that shit undermine my whole style. You know what I mean? Nigga, you know, shit, yeah, nigga. That's why I like a good black, but I'm up against the black, so I'm trying to pull out everything bright I got. This might be the end of it.
Hey, man.
Man, this is it. Hey, you might see me recycle.
You done like,
damn,
already?
Three podcasts of just brightness? We might both need to get our pastel shit up. It is what it is.
Hey, man. Hey, man. It is man, what it is. It's way. Summer.
Then I watched this movie named Mandy.
What's that?
It's some real, I don't even know. My lady was like, yo, she had heard it was a good movie. So it was one of those. You know, you try to keep your life together. You know how it go. He's like, all right, fuck it. Let's relate.
Pastels, Mandy.
Yeah. Right. No, but it's a movie, Nicolas Cage. I fuck with Nicolas Cage, but it's shot crazy. Like, it's a good movie to see. You know what I mean? If you're going to partake in any, you know, tree behavior. You know what I'm saying? But that tree was so strong, I fell asleep, man.
And which one you hit? Which tree you had?
Oh, some shit called Limoncello.
Limoncello.
Limoncello. Yeah, yeah, shout out to Limoncello.
Shout out to Limoncello.
There's a few pieces, you know, but.
I was on, my wife was watching Rami.
Shout out to my man, Rami Youssef. Shout out to, I was actually supposed to go to the screener last week. Yeah, that's my guy. He did a guest spot on my show out in Minneapolis. Good dude, man.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah, he got a show on Hulu.
Yeah.
Called Rami. And my wife was watching it. I guess she was trying to catch up on this old Muslim shit.
That's what, yo, it's funny because I was about to recommend it. I've been recommending this to all my Muslim friends.
You know what I'm saying? It's a little different because, you know what I'm saying, I'm black. I'm an African-American Muslim. He like a, you know what I'm saying, a Middle Eastern type of Muslim.
Yeah.
So it's the cultures are a lot different. But, you know what I'm saying, it's still the same kind of stuff that go on. And I thought it was very interesting how he played it out. It's like.
Don't tell me too much.
No, I'm not. It's like, what's my man named, the Indian dude?
Which one? Aziz?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the name of his show?
Aziz Ansari. Oh, Master of None.
Master of None. It's the Muslim Master of None.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's New York.
But weren't they Muslim too? I thought there was a whole
they were Indian.
No. But I thought they were Muslim in the way that they ain't any pork. Like they were, there was an episode where.
I don't know if they was Hindu or Muslim.
Shout out
to I stopped watching after the Lena Waithe episode because I wanted it to be more black.
Oh, man.
Because she killed it.
Yeah, she killed it. It was almost episode. Her own show for that episode.
I stopped after that episode. I've been promising myself to go back and finish the season.
That episode is the black introduction to Master of None.
Exactly. I had watched all the other I had watched it all the way up. First season. That was the second season.
No, it was man.
That was the second season when she did that
episode.
Was
it the second season?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I watched the whole first season, then I got to that episode in the second season. Was like, oh, okay, I'm good.
Yeah. There's an episode, I think it's in the second season, where I think it's his cousin kicks it with him, and the family's there, and his cousin is like eating pork on the low. Like he got a white lady, you know what I mean? Like he's like not in line with what the family would like.
Right.
And then he kind of got Aziz on the streets, like, yo, man. This is how I'm really living. Or I think maybe Aziz caught him eating some bacon or some shit like that. They kind of address it. But back to Rami.
Rami, you know what I'm saying, is interesting to watch it because, you know, there's certain things that you do go through that he was going through and shit. But then it's also like lining it up, even though the cultures don't match up one-to-one.
Right.
But when you know, I grew up in the masjid or whatever.
Right.
But I never really dated a Muslim chick until later, real later, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you trying to get some, you know what I'm saying? You trying to get some and shit. You ain't finna do that shit to the, you know what I'm saying, the girl at the masjid. You know what I'm saying? So you treat everybody at the masjid with the upright sister with respect.
Peace.
But then, you know what I'm saying? You get out in the streets. Yeah. You like, shit, hey, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? I didn't date a Muslim chick until later. The girl before my wife.
Uh-huh.
The last girl I dated before my wife was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a weird thing when you in that and you got all these ideals that you've been raised up on and how to respect the women, you know what I'm saying? Fall back and all that.
Right.
And
lower your gaze.
Yeah, lower your gaze. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't stare too long. You know what I'm saying? You get the guy right now.
Right.
But then when you out in your wild, you know what I'm saying, menagerie.
Right.
Out in the world, you just, you know what I'm saying? Right. So You don't want to bring that shit into your wildness, so you keep that shit where it's
compartmentalized.
At. Yeah, compartmentalized.
Keep that
shit.
Relationship at the mass
gym. Keep this shit over here, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You're gonna bring that self to the sisters like that. Yeah. So it was wild. So when you watching it, you know what I'm saying? You don't get a lot of that because, again, it's a different culture. But
right.
You can see what he's going through and where he's still out here. He, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He out here fucking and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you get caught up in situations, you know what I mean? So it's reminiscent. Uh-huh. It's not one-to-one, but I enjoy. Like, you don't see that representation on TV, so.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Representation matters.
There you go. Shout out to Rami. I check it out. I've been meaning to check it out. It came out, last week?
Was it?
Like
that.
Yeah, I didn't know it was new.
Wife was watching. I think she was just doing some research, trying to, okay, this is what you be thinking.
Hilarious. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What else is going on? There was some other shit that I wanted to chop it up with you about. What? Yeah, man. I actually wrote some shit down. You know me, man. Come I'm on. Out here trying not to forget these things. Notes and shit, but we could be more organic.
If you got it, I'm waiting on you. Because I watched them Thrones.
Oh, right. We can talk about the Thrones, but hold on. let's talk about the Thrones, man. Well, hold on. Shout out to my man. I did the Cobra Club on Easter Sunday night. Shout out to my man, Hari Kondabolu. Speaking of Muslim Hindu, he had a bit about that where he was like, you know, I'm Hindu. Well, I don't want to fuck his bit up, but, you know, basically how a lot of people think that Hindu is Muslim. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
they're ignorant. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of, you know. But I just wanted to shout them out. I did a benefit show.
Mm-hmm.
There's an organization called Educated Little Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of trying to empower these young kids in some of these gentrified areas or whatever. Kind of, let me not speak to their purpose. They doing some good shit out there. I don't want to, you know, when you nutshell a motherfucking mission statement and fuck it all the way up.
Like, Damien, that's really not what
that
we're about.
That is not what we do at all, you. That was a poor
representation. Gentrified areas, I mean. I don't know.
I mean, I know it was, we just, listen. Go to Educated Little Monsters. Google that and
Monsters?
Read up on it. Monsters, which is interesting.
M-O or M-U?
No, I think it's M-O.
Like, okay, Monsters.
Traditional, yeah, you know. What the fuck? There was something I was going to tag
Hindu.
That with. That was a segue piece. And I just wanted to do a quick shout out.
Yourself to death.
I done segued myself out of the fucking train of thought. It'll come back to me, my guy. It'll come back to me, man. Listen. Oh, shit. Yeah, it'll come back. We'll be back.
Well,
keep
you
going.
Know. Yeah, so, you know, Easter Sunday was the Thrones.
Right. I heard it was a good episode this week, supposedly.
I guess.
Uh-oh, you don't sell convinced.
No. It was a good episode, per se. Mm-hmm. It just didn't have no action. You know what I'm saying?
It was a setup episode?
It was a setup. It was a lot of vocalization, a lot of talking.
What I'm about to do.
A lot of chit-chat.
Wait.
They brought a lot of shit together, but it was still just a talking-ish episode. You know what I'm saying? You had a couple of little things. Little Arya got her little thing off. You know what I'm saying? That, you know. But it was weird because she always been young.
Okay.
The whole episode.
She got her thing off sexually.
Yeah, sexually.
Okie doke.
You know what I'm saying? You know, we've been following her up, and she's been doing grown lady shit. Killing motherfuckers.
Killing since she was a kid, right?
So, hilarious. You know what I'm saying? She could do that, but it was just, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't weird for me, but it was kind of weird.
It's like little again.
No, it wasn't. Not really. Because I knew Arya was grown at this point. But you know what I'm saying? It was still like, all right, that's what we doing. You know what I'm saying? I want to see some killing. I want to see some, you know what I'm saying? I want to see something.
Uh-huh.
So, but it was all set up. Next week is the big war.
Is this the last season, supposedly?
This is the last season.
So they got to, do they have to, sew up a whole timeline?
They probably ain't gonna sew up shit.
You don't think so?
Hell nah, that ain't their style. Sew up.
They just do what
they
fuck they want.
They kill the motherfucker, keep it moving. But I don't know. I don't know how it's gonna end. That's the beauty of it, because they do shit so sporadic and random.
Okay.
And, you know, R&R, what's his name?
Matt, you wanna jump?
What's his name? George.
George.
Yeah, George. He has such a distinct way of doing shit where it's not clear cut, not.
Right.
good versus evil. It's like, right. you know what I'm saying? You're going to feel both sides of this shit, and then you got to decide where you land on this shit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, you
leave you conflicted sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, a lot of times you conflicted because the motherfucker you hated last season is your dog right now.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? That's cool. You know what I mean? It's like, ah.
Yeah.
So, next week is the big war that they've been all
pumping up.
Not pumping up, but that's what's been all leading to. Winter has finally come.
Is that what the war is? That's what winter's about?
Winter is coming. Means, you know, these the dead motherfuckers bring winter with them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They from the land of always winter.
Right.
So when they come, the motherfuckers snow and the lights go out.
That means all the dead people coming back to for revenge.
Well, it's the White Walkers and the King of the Night, the Night King,
okay.
with the Army of the Dead. Okay. The Army of the Dead, they just pawns.
Okay.
But, you know what I'm saying, the Night King.
Zombies.
Yeah, they zombies. The Night King and them, he got a specific task that he's trying to handle,
okay.
which we don't fully all the way know. But, you know,
but you still invest.
It's coming together.
Okay.
It's coming together. They give you a little bit. And what they gave us in the last episode, you know, spoiler alert.
I mean, you know how we do here.
If you're watching.
Shit.
They were kind of like, you know, Bran who could see all the shit, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He the three-eyed raven.
Mm-hmm.
So he could see the past. He could see the future.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was his whole down there. Life situation to get this knowledge.
Right.
Because the old three-eyed raven was, you know, passing the knowledge on. He basically got caught up in a situation where he was out there too fucking long bullshitting. And the three-eyed raven told him, yo, you can't be staying out there too long in your visions because, you know, you fuck shit up.
Mm.
But he don't, you know, young, you don't know shit. He was out there just lollygagging in the vision and shit.
Now, three eyes and shit.
Three eyes out there. And he's seeing the whole fucking Army of the Dead. He like, oh shit, this shit crazy. Like, damn, all these motherfucking dead motherfuckers.
He could see all this shit.
Yeah, he could see all this shit.
He could see.
Yeah, he could see this shit. And then he out there, the three-eyed raven told him, yo, man, you got to come back in, fool. And then the motherfucking Night King looks up, and he could see him in his own vision. So the Night King could see him out there in the vision world.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't know that because he dumb and young. Mm-hmm. And he just learning. Three-Eyed Raven told his ass to come back in.
Night King killed him.
No, he ain't kill him. But he grabbed his arm like this. And oh, shit. Three-Eyed Raven woke him up. But now he got the mark of the motherfucking Night King on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So now the Night King know where the fuck he at at all times. So you know what I'm saying? Now the last little children of the forest got killed. Fucking around with him.
So why didn't the Night King kill him when he could have killed him?
That's what everybody want to know.
Oh,
the Night King got a bigger plan.
Ooh.
See what I'm saying? Because he could have killed Jon Snow too.
Okay.
But he didn't.
So is it going to be a Benny Blanco from the Bronx situation where he should have killed that nigga a long time
ago? Well, we going to see.
All right.
But you know what I'm saying? See, Benny Blanco was just trying to get on.
Right.
Night King been on.
Okay.
Night King been around for thousands of years.
So he just want to let you know, I see you.
I see you.
I see you moving around out here.
He did him with an old school hip hop, like, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Let him know.
Yeah.
When they had got out of there that last time, he hit him with one of these numbers.
Yeah. Night King?
The Night King hit him with one of these.
Speaking of one of them.
You know what I'm saying? And that right there, throw your hands in the air. You know what I'm saying?
What's what?
Let him know. Yeah, I'm out here.
I know you see me with all of my eyes.
What's up?
Speaking of that, did you see
we got some problems? Anybody got some problems?
Did you see that footage of that fucking rabbit?
Fighting?
Yeah. Getting it in? That shit was amazing. But go ahead, I'm fucking you
good,
up.
That was good.
Go ahead, I'm fucking Night King.
So anyway, the Night King, so Bran, who could see all the shit, they in there trying to map out how they gonna fight the dead motherfuckers and shit. So they like, you know, shit, what we gonna do? And then they like, nah, we gonna put everybody in the crypt. We gonna put you, Bran, all seeing motherfucker in the crypt. Mm-hmm. He like, nah, that ain't what we gonna do.
Okay.
Cause he could see wherever I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He like, put me out in the field.
Right.
And he was basically just saying how the Night King wants to kill him because, you know, well, Sam, who be studying the books and shit, he be learning all the history. He was like, you know, he would want to kill him first because he knows all the shit.
Kill Sam.
The history, the future mm-hmm. and the present. Mm-hmm. So when you get rid of him, you get rid of all memory mm-hmm. of the people. Mm. They want to kill the people and erase all their memory. Mm. And I was like, damn, mm. that sound like what they did to us.
Ooh, stay woke.
I was like, shit, is this a, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so.
They try to erase our shit.
Allegory.
Don't want us to know who we are.
Right.
And see, Bran, he the one know could tell everybody who they are and why. Mm-hmm. Like, Jon Snow ain't know he the motherfucking heir to the Iron Throne. Mm. He ain't know that shit till last week.
Really? All this time?
All this time. He thought he was a bastard. He thought he was just an old bastard-ass kid with a hoe for a mama.
Interesting. Damn.
Turns out.
New information.
Turns out, you know what I'm saying? He the heir to the fucking throne.
Damn, ain't that a bitch.
You know what I'm saying? He the key to the whole situation because right. he got the dragon blood
right.
and he got the wolf blood.
Okay.
And see, that's the two important shits in this story. Okay. Fire and ice.
Okay.
The fire from the dragon
right.
and the ice from the
wolf.
From the wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Bird.
There it is.
I don't know a lot, but I know a
little
bit.
Nah, the people fuck with the people fuck with your recaps. Speaking of which, now I know what my thing was, and it was going to be very quick, but it kind of has something to do now with Game of Thrones also, but we're talking about religion.
Mm-hmm.
I just realized Jesus was like a regular dude back in the day. Like, I didn't, you know.
What you thought he was? Rich?
No, I mean.
He had flip-flops.
Dude, I grew up God-fearing, so I ain't ask a whole lot of questions. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't.
Your grandma-fearing.
Right, right. Why you asking? Just pay, you know what I mean? Just don't worry about all of that. There's a lot of don't worry about all of that. So the origin story of Jesus, I didn't really. I mean, you know a little bit, but I knew like
his mother was a virgin?
You knew some of that.
All right.
You knew that, but I didn't know. Like, I thought, honestly, I thought a lot of that was like. Not fantasy, but I guess like mythology. Like just, I thought it was
like a parable,
like you a know, parable you know what or whatever. Yeah. I was gonna go mythology, but you right, say yeah. parable. But anyway, I didn't know this was a real cat that lived out there. He was like a disciple out, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And then I found out that
you didn't know
basically,
he was living.
I'd heard again. I didn't question a lot of this. You know what I mean? Like.
Right.
They said he only, you know, you hear all of that, but again, like, and it's, I feel this is a vulnerable moment.
No doubt.
Because this
have,
is the shit. Everybody
moment.
Go to all these churches.
Have your moment.
Yeah. Everybody go to the churches and all of that. Some people, you know, they know what they know. I've never been the illest with religion and, you know, all of that. It was a
Me
little,
neither.
Thank you. So, but I had a conversation with my lady. She was dropping some gems and she was like, the Roman Empire made Jesus a deity, you know, after he had died, maybe 300 years after he died, he was like a dead guy that was, you know, a humble man. He, mm-hmm. you know, he started the Christianity movement, but it was kind of like an underground thing. But then over the 300 years, like all of the, mm-hmm. you know, like the poor people and stuff like that, they started to galvanize through the word. And it got so crazy that the Roman Empire was like, yo, we gotta kind of make this guy
acknowledge.
Yeah, we gotta acknowledge it because this shit could turn into rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know all of that. I didn't know that.
And then
that
they
was
turned them white. And then they.
Hey, you know, that was later on. But that all stemmed off of. That all came from a conversation about Kanye's Sunday service.
Oh.
And the, and also this pop up church movement. Like you start to see churches.
Yeah. But that's been the case. You always had pop-up church movements. What you talking about Kanye though?
I wasn't really tripping. I mean, I told you, I'm not the biggest fan of Sunday service joint. It feels, I mean, the Sunday service thing is, it's whatever. I think we talked about it. It's like gentrified church. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It feel real like, it's like playing records at the park. I dig it. I can dig it. Let's have a good time. I mean, they do it up in Hall. They do it a lot of places.
Right.
Some of these records don't sound that good. Like
what?
And these they did when they did the we talked about that when they did the Soul to Soul record.
Mm-hmm.
However, do you want it? It didn't kick how it was. Like when it's acoustic like that, it kind of undermined that little bass kick. It just the feel was a little gone.
Well, I mean, Sunday service. I think the music sounded dope.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
On the Coachella joints about.
Yeah. Okay, you know what I'm saying. I was watching it through the little peephole shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I was conflicted because, you know, I loved the music and how it felt You know what I'm saying? I love the energy of the whole shit. You know, I just, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't get behind the messenger for some reason. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then my wife, she was all in. You know, she, you know, like church people. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? It's just so easy to
forgiveness.
To get us with the church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if what if R. Kelly did Sunday service? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There would be a whole bunch of people who would go and will fall in line, and then everybody else would be like, motherfucker, how you going to have R. Kelly singing the goddamn shit?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, yeah, yeah.
But that's always been the way back. That's always been one of the
ways. And it's a good way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think Ye is using it to a successful wave. What's a successful wave to keep me flowing right through the whole shit?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's his wave right now.
Yeah.
You can't argue with the God wave.
Yeah. It's all right. I'm not even into it like that. It's all right.
It's
I'm not
very cultish.
It's mad culty.
Like when I was in the '70s, like you grow up and shit and you see people in cults and shit like that, and you hear about the cults and shit, and you wonder like, how a motherfucker get into a motherfucking cult? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see it.
You see it, you felt it?
I see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people falling behind this Sunday service, like, you know what I'm saying? They fall right in. They want to go to Calabasas and be in that shit. And they want to, you know what I'm saying? They want to experience that shit. I can see it. I can see how people go in, fall out, and then Kanye start a church.
Yeah.
And he'll have a whole bunch of followers.
I can see that. I mean, yeah. I can see it.
You know what I'm saying? Not saying what he would do with it.
Right.
I'm just saying I can see how it could happen.
Of course. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Kanye leading his own village of people. He already trying to build it in Calabasas or whatever. Mm-hmm. His own village of people to their promised land in beige and purple.
Yeah. My man Duke said they look like futuristic slaves. I didn't give a fuck. I watched it. It was interesting. The through the peephole thing was a interesting...
Yeah, but you know, now that they see you could get $60 million at Netflix, a la Beyonce Homecoming, you're going to protect the intellectual property.
Okay.
So you throw it through the peephole, but then when he do it on Netflix, that shit going to be wide open. You can really see it.
Oh, you think that's what's going to happen?
Hell yeah. At least the option happened. Now everybody ain't got it all on their computer already. Beyonce, her shit was out there.
Yeah.
But nobody thought it was going to be a Netflix situation.
But Beyonce's shit was like a way bigger spectacle. It felt like this shit, I mean.
Man, you don't think he'll put some documentary shit from the shit he doing at the house
of course.
And all this shit? And then the Coachella performance? That's a layup. He already got a congregation.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, everybody, the Sunday service got down.
Then they had the merch. People was upset about the merch. I wasn't really upset about the merch. I mean, it was pricey, but he's the merch god. You know what I mean? That's really his shit.
I ain't upset about it. Ain't when we want, sweatshirt with Holy Spirit on the front.
Right, or something like that.
You know what I'm saying?
For 200 and some change.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. People felt like, is it wrong to sell merch at church?
Church.
One, it's not a church.
It ain't church, and he ain't no pastor. And that's the problem. Y'all giving him that shit. Y'all
who's
running.
To?
I don't know.
To them?
Whoever. Whoever said that shit. They giving him the, you know what I'm saying? That shit like he's a spiritual leader. Right. So.
I'm not mad
at Coachella. It's a commercially fucking event.
I'm not even mad at the whole, because I was having this conversation about church. And money, right? You know, like, it's obviously, and I'm not going to speak specifically because people, that's my pastor. You know what I mean? But there's certain churches where the pastor's wealthy than a motherfucker. They like, put it out there like it's conspicuous, right?
No doubt.
And I believe I want to say the term is the gospel of prosperity. There's churches that I've been to quite a few different churches and went to like a more like a humble type of church, like a, you know what I mean? Traditional, you know what I mean? Like small congregation type thing. Then I went to like the mega church situation. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated, but I really appreciated what was going on at the mega church, not just off the strength of the fact that it was a mega church, but it was like, it was almost like a, because I'd been to the church before it became a mega church. So it was kind of like the manifestation of, if you build it, they will come.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the only thing about, like, there's different experiences in it. Like the small church, you know the pastor, you know what I mean? The pastor know you. The mm-hmm. big church, you know the pastor. The pastor might not know you. You know what I mean? You might need more FaceTime or whatever. But, you know, and then I also thought about with like Notre Dame burning down, right? And you see so much like in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Like you go to the Vatican, you see.
It didn't burn down.
Or burnt, or it got burnt, but then they built, you know, they rebuild and they got to rebuild. But like you look at the Vatican, you know, it's all of this wealth. And you look at some of these churches where like the congregation, these are people that are poor. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of mother, like I always say, like you definitely see to hold sway, especially with the like the poor, mm-hmm. money do a lot.
Money do a lot everywhere in this society. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to get too far deep into the shit, but yeah, you know what I'm saying? Even in relationships, goddamn.
Money does a lot in everything.
If you able to hold your own and provide and shit, you're going to get a lot more props than if you struggling along, being humble and trying to make it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah, it does a lot. But, you know, does that, you know, enhance the experience or does it denigrate the experience? I don't know.
It's subjective.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, you do have, you are going to have people who are going to follow the Kanye shit just because they already know. You know what I'm saying? They already done gave him the props. You follow the mega churches because he doing it. He's showing a successful path to this word. But, you know what I mean? And I'm not even going to put two and two together. You know what I'm saying? But even this is not a comparison or a contrast. This is a separate thought. Disclaimer.
Disclaimer. Here comes some crazy hot
ones. It's not crazy. But even in a pimp culture, you know what I'm saying? The whole process is based on him shining and looking good and having money and showing success. Mm-hmm. And that's why everybody give him their money. Mm-hmm. But he not telling you that his success and his shine is coming from your hard work and labor. You know what I'm saying?
He's not telling you that?
Nah, that's not what it is. You know what I'm saying? You're not one-on-one thinking that you're providing him with this lifestyle. That's not the psychology behind pimping.
Yeah, but you gotta.
No, you ain't gotta nothing. The whole process of pimping is making a motherfucker believe that, you know what I'm saying, they working for a successful boss. You know what I'm saying? I'm successful.
Right.
But his success is coming from your hard work and labor.
Right. I would think that's apparent.
Nah.
Especially when that type of labor's
that's
going
on. That's not as apparent as you would believe. You know what I'm saying? Just like the pimp, he not the preacher, he not up there because of his own devices. Mm-hmm. He there because of the congregation and the support that they give.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like the money fell out of the air because he had the word.
Yeah. But they see that. They see that and they see themselves, some people, they see themselves investing in the situation, investing in the anointed pastor, preacher. They're paying for the word.
But at the end of the day, when you throw your $10 in the pot,
right,
$20 or $50 in the pot, you're not automatically associating that $10, that $50, that $20 with that Rolls Royce in the parking lot.
I don't know.
You might be.
Especially if your last pastor didn't have a Rolls Royce. Like, what the shit? Nah.
But, you know what I'm saying? That's the thing. It's like, you know, you gotta keep that shit moving and rotating to where each individual is not motherfucking thinking about, you know, their contribution to your lifestyle. They just thinking about the leader and the leader showing up with shine. You know what I'm saying?
As long as you keep hitting me with the word, keep hitting me with positivity, like whatever it is, that's what they're paying for. Right. That's kind of what they're paying for.
Most general Americans, right?
It's hope.
The general person is not thinking about where their taxes going. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Taxes coming out like pimpology. Mm-hmm. Bam, 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 bam. Everybody check. Rich or poor.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody get putting towards the tab. Mm-hmm. But the only people that's actually seeing where they shit going and you know what I'm saying, already expecting that shit to go where they're going is the people that got the most money.
Right.
know what I'm saying? Like, nah, dog. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, it's like, you know, you taking what they give you.
Well, it's also, you also got to add the fact that if you don't pay, your ass go to jail. So there's a harsher consequence.
No doubt. If you don't pay, you go to jail, but you're not actually automatically seeing my little tax money is going to these specific things and it's benefiting me.
Some people do. Some people don't. Like, listen, my lady's the queen of, you know, that's the taxes at work. You know what right. I mean? To where you recognize that. Right. And
but
who
that's,
knows?
That's a motherfucker that's woke. And that's right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Looking
but
at that shit.
I think there's people like that.
I'm not saying there's not people like that.
That belt
but I'm
line
just saying,
is taxes.
But what I'm telling you is that most people not think about that shit on their day to day. They just go to work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They trying to figure, oh, shit, okay, damn. Right. Woo. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers go higher up the scale.
Right.
They paying less of that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As possible.
Right.
Like, shit, we going to claim this, that, the third, the art on the wall, the books. Yeah. Woo.
They more savvy.
Yeah, they more savvy and they understand what's going on. But the average person not thinking, oh, this whole shit running off of my tax dollars. You know what I'm saying? These police are getting paid for my tax dollars. They not thinking like that. That's why police going in there doing any fucking shit they want. Because the people not really standing up behind the money that they putting towards the tax.
The oppressed people.
I mean, most of us are oppressed around
right,
this bitch.
But I feel as though, if you, not even oppressed, but just ignorant. There's a level of, because.
It ain't even ignorant. It's just like, you not thinking about that. You not thinking about that shit every day. When the police pull you over, you not saying, motherfucker, I'll pay you. You like, let me get through this stop. And
yeah,
get the way
I'm
going.
But that's also because
you know what
I'm black.
Exactly.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. But you pay your taxes just like everybody else pay these police officers.
Of course.
So you should feel entitled as a, you know what I'm saying, as a payer of taxes.
Right.
That you should be treated like everybody fucking else.
You should be. And you, there is a point where you are aware of it. You know what I mean? Because there's the point where you'd be like, they wouldn't do this if I was white.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there is clear awareness, and there's probably motherfuckers that are like, yo, man, I pay all this money, and they stay with my ass like I owe them money. That's a problem. But
right.
I'm sure at some point, and I don't know, I mean, who, you know, I think most people that I talk to, for the most part, have at least a general idea of maybe not where their taxes go or earmark, but they do know that their taxes affect everything
they do.
That's going
and that,
on.
And
you also have to still consider the part of either you're going to pay these taxes or your ass go to jail. There's enough people that we've seen go to jail
right,
to where we're
but
like,
see, but see,
shit.
That's just the bottom part. I'm just talking about you pay them, you don't go to jail, and you don't think about where they go.
It's like
for
religion.
The most part.
Just, again.
That's why, that's this whole conversation.
Look at that.
Bring 360 all the way back around.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like religion, you pay your tithes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You might contribute to the building fund, but you know what I'm saying? Why is it always the building fund?
Yeah,
why
you
know
shit don't move?
Right, you're not thinking about you directly contributing to the Rolls Royce. That's not your thing. You came to worship, you came to, you know what I'm saying, do your part in the situation.
Right, but to your, back to that, like with the building fund that don't go nowhere, whatever, right? There's that. Because there's that. But then, like I said, when we went from this other church, and that shit went from a small church to a mm-hmm. big ass church,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I was.
You
I,
saw your ties at work.
Absolutely.
Right.
And that shit
and
felt,
good.
And you felt invested almost. You
right.
felt like, shit, I'm proud, I'm claiming this.
Right, no doubt.
So I, when it's apparent, it because you see it in the building, you see it in, you know, it was. It was presented as far as the infrastructure, as far as building the
right.
the fellowship or whatever.
Right.
It wasn't, I want a money green Bugatti. Now, I'm saying if the pastor pulled up in a money green Bugatti, I know I'm not the only person in the congregation to be like, yo, what's going on here? Because, I mean, that's just not what's going
yeah,
on
it's definitely
going
to be natural, but you've already contributed. It's done, obviously, because he was able to do it.
But it might affect your feeling, especially if you...
You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you paid $200 for the Kanye merch mm-hmm. and whatever for the Coachella ticket and whatever else you're going to contribute to the Sunday service movement...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not thinking about... the you know what I'm saying, the 300 square feet of marble that they're going to put in the kitchen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's not even going to be part of your thought process.
But it's also different, though, because, one, I don't look at Sunday service as anything church-related. It's just outdoor concert. Right. It's just him playing his shit acoustic.
Right.
And it's like in a church mode in the way we fellowship it together, right? That's about as much as it's leveraged. But with the Kanye thing, as long as the album is banging and you don't wear a MAGA hat, I'm fucking with
but
you.
But he gonna wear a MAGA hat. I'm just, and I'm he just, already done wore it.
I'm putting that in there just to be funny. Because
but he already done wore it.
Right.
But you know he gonna wear it.
And I'm
he got
I'm
it
cool.
signed.
Look.
He got that shit in a glass cube in his crib.
I'ma be
on top of the counter that's, you know what I'm saying, Carrera marble, you know what I'm saying, Calcutta gold marble.
He might.
You know what
he
saying?
Might.
Yeah,
but
he do.
I'll say this. And this is where this is my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
If the next album is fire, that's just what that man wanna do.
The next album gonna be fire. He just needed y'all to get back on his team.
Yeah, but I think I still
because he dropped that little 7-song shit.
Yeah,
that shit ain't do shit.
Right.
But so he need to get y'all back on the team.
I think he won that.
You can't go against God.
Won that album was it was a couple records on it, but and then it was also conflated with the whole Trump shit in that moment. So in that moment, Cass was upset. Right?
And,
so now
and we still upset.
Some are upset. You still upset.
I ain't upset at him.
Right.
I
but
just
you
don't
fell
fuck
away.
With him.
You don't fuck with him. But you know that means you don't fuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're not gonna get he can't rely on you.
He cannot rely on
right.
me.
Right. So at he's all. Trying to get
he'll get a stream off. He'll get a stream off me though.
Oh well, then that's good.
He'll
enough.
Give me one stream. He'll get one stream on the play.
Oh well, shit, I thought
I'm not boycotting. I'm just gonna fuck with his movement.
Oh,
I'm not gonna support. I'm gonna listen to see what he's doing, just like I listened to the Sunday service to see what it was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The
well,
music.
You still on board?
I'm not.
Because there's people that are like
I'm
fucking.
Not.
They are like boycotting.
I'm not. I'm not. I'm not that. I'm not that crazy with my shit. You know what I'm saying? I still want to see what's happening, what's going on. I want to be able to relate to what people talking about out here.
Right.
I'm not in it. You know what I'm saying? To believe in none of these motherfuckers, really. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, from the early days of hip hop, when Ice Cube and all them was doing N.W.A. or Luke was doing 2 Live Crew. I was in English class learning Shakespeare at the same time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Today's his birthday.
Who, Shakespeare?
Yeah,
Shakespeare. Happy birthday, my nigga.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever. I'm learning Shakespeare, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we learning the characters and the prose and the this and the that and how to build these stories. And then I listen to Ice Cube, and he's building these raps in the same way that we're learning in class. So I'm like, oh, shit, he used that damn technique in that damn verse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I was able to separate Ice Cube from his music in a way where he's an author. He's Shakespeare to this gangster rap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't look at, okay, Ice Cube's supposed to be some full-grown gangster out here really banging in some set. You know what I'm saying? So I separated him from what he was saying. I don't think there's as much separation these days from in the rap genre as it is in other arts. So a lot of times I try to separate the artist from his music. You know what I'm saying? Kanye, what he doing with Trump and all that shit, I try to separate the shit, but you know what I'm saying? He does it in a way to provoke the reaction so much that you can't separate it because he puts it right in front of you and he puts it in the music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, that's what he's doing. I'm going to separate myself from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's it. You know what I mean? And again, I've been separating myself from Kanye's music. I said it on here. And just, you know what I mean? I just, like some of the things he say to me, just be like, hey, I don't really rub me the right way. So
right.
I just let it be.
It was easier.
Yeah, it was just easy to be like, okay, yeah, all right, cool. I fuck with, you know what I'm saying? I fuck with some songs and shit, but I'm not never going to be a real ride or die
right.
Kanye person.
Right. Now, I hear you. But back to the thing, like with him doing that Sunday service, I still see that as just an outdoor, it's like a block party. In church clothes, right? You know what I mean? Like,
and
I don't look
no
to him.
Church clothes.
I don't, but you know, that's
and
what they sell them at.
Cult clothes.
But I don't look to him as somebody that is going to inspire me no further than creatively. Like, right. I'm not looking for the word. You know what I mean? But when you go to a preacher, you going for the word. You going to be inspired. You going for them to interpret the Bible or whatever. Right. So you pay on that. And then depending, like I said, some people are cool with the pastor pulling up in the Benz or whatever. And other people are like, ah, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. They kind of get like, whereas if like an artist, that's just part of who they are. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's
so you
part
get the best of both worlds. Right. So you get to play preacher, but then get to do artist shit.
Yeah, he gets the, yeah, he got the cult of personality. People will fuck with him. They'll follow him. But he could always pull the card of, I'm not no preacher.
I'm an artist.
Yeah, I don't even think he ever said no shit like that.
No, he never said he was a preacher, no shit. He ain't said shit. He's just doing it and riding that energy.
Right.
And then he'll jump on the album and still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Make a, you know what I'm saying, make a chick suck his thing in the bathroom stall.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, man, it's
whatever. Oh, man. You got anything else you want to say to the people,
I think I've said too much.
Well, like, why don't you tell the people where you going to be at, man?
Man, I'm going to be here in New York City, Brooklyn.
Okay.
I'm going to be on this Instagram.
Okay.
At Mr. Muhammad.
You going to be out there?
I'm going to be on the Twitters.
Okay.
At Mr. Muhammad.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll be out there, man. Uh-huh. I'll be out there.
And on the YouTubes. Ooh.
We going to be on YouTube?
Yeah, we on the YouTubes.
We going
to
be on
the
YouTubes?
We got the rollout. Yeah, we out here.
That's the third one we shot. Third one. You know what I'm saying? We going to be.
Yeah, we out here. They popped up.
They popped up?
They popped up. Low quiet.
Low key?
Yeah, low key.
I don't think I got the
announcement.
Link.
Yeah. I'll send you the link. You got the link. I think it's the same link. I don't know.
It wasn't public when you sent me the link.
Right. It was public. We went public.
Oh,
we out here. We got at least two pieces. We got Kunta Beans.
Come on, poof.
We got Kunta Beans.
Grand celebration.
No, that's what tomorrow today is for. Kunta Beans. And we got, what was it? Not the Love Energy. No Brown Legos in the Future. Those are up on the.
Kunta Beans and No Brown Legos
those
in the Future.
Those are up there. Yeah. Right. What else, man? Anything else?
That's it, man.
All right. Well, I'm going to be here, man. I'm nothing going on right now. I haven't confirmed it, so I can't really all the way say nothing crazy.
Contract,
I'll tell you this.
The deposit ain't in.
I'll tell you this, next week we'll be right here. Enjoy this.
No
and
doubt.
In the meantime, in between time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even
the
enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yeah.
We are out.
Word.
Conversation.